Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM.
How great are you going to feel and be when you consistently can save X dollars a month or max out your retirement plan?
Welcome to Everyone's Talking Money podcast. I'm your host, Shauna Game. There's no judgment, no dumb questions, just smart conversations about you and your money. So come on in and grab a seat. Everyone is welcome here.
We've all spent more time with family lately. It can feel like old times, but your mind is on the future too, and what you can do to shape it. At Sandy Spring Bank, we work with clients to help them grow and protect their money with wealth management, trust services, and insurance so they can enjoy today and ultimately pass along their wealth. We believe real banking is a conversation. Let's talk about your dreams. Visit sandyspringbank.com/wealth. Wealth and insurance products are not FDIC insured, not guaranteed, and may lose value.
What should you do with your money in 2023? Well, my friend, it's a big question, but luckily enough, Zenelia Harris, certified financial planner and president of Harris & Harris Wealth Management Group and author of Finance in Stilettos, along with Doug Bonaparte, certified financial planner and founder of Bonafide Wealth, they are both here to share everything that you need to know. We dive deep into how to prepare for a layoff. Is 2023 your year to buy or sell a house? How to deal with money anxiety? Do we really need to talk about a recession anymore? And a little something that I think is a really fun conversation, whether you should be following money advice you hear on social media.
So if something happens and you actually do exactly what they say, what recourse do you have if that doesn't work for you personally.
This episode is dedicated to you. I know you have so many money goals you want to smash this year, and we want to help you get there. Both Sunili and Doug are the best of the best. So get prepared for an exciting, engaging, and action-filled conversation that will get your money set for this year and beyond. Let's start talking. I am so excited to have this episode. I was looking forward to this for quite some time. We've got two amazing, actually three if you count me, certified financial planners here having a conversation. And we're going to talk about 2023, what we should pay attention to with our money, the things we don't need to, maybe some insider secrets that you guys might have. So I've got a lot of questions, but before we get into them, I was thinking maybe you both might just entertain us a little bit here. If you could say one word about how you think 2023 is going to go in terms of money, what do you think it would be? Zanil, you want to start with your one word?
I would say my one word would be patience.
Ooh, patience. Okay. All right, Doug, what you got for us?
Going with volatile. I'm going to go with volatile here. I think if anything we've seen over the last now 2.5, almost 3 years is, you know, the pendulum swung one way with liquidity being pumped into the market and everything, you know, kind of going nuts from that, pick an asset class. And last year we saw the pendulum swing almost completely the other way. And now we have a question mark as to which way is it going. And there's a lot of things outside of our control, if not most of those things are outside of our control. But when you got something swinging from left to right that fast, you know, it can't mean calm waters for anyone, especially individuals when it comes to their money and their income and just about everything going on in their financial lives. So I don't necessarily mean it in a pessimistic or mean way. I just mean it's a reality we're going to likely have to face, if not are facing.
Yeah, I think those two words really go together, right? Yeah, we've got to have patience if things are going to be volatile. And that really kind of leads me right into my first topic that I want to talk about. You know, we've talked about recession on this show a million times last year, and we've talked about how, you know, we're going into recession and we're not going in recession, and all the experts are kind of saying different things. And we know that it will impact our money no matter what happens this year. So, you know, to start us off, Doug, are we in a recession? Should we care about this? You know, what's going on?
Yeah, it's hotly debated. Are we in one? Are we heading in one? I mean, at this point, you know, put another question mark there. I think from a practitioner standpoint and dealing with clients, why wouldn't you say we're in one or we're not in one? You know, kind of just a psychological experiment to, you know, in other words, no one's going to be mad if I'm wrong. Okay, I was wrong. We weren't in one. So things are good now. So I think a little bit from just a psychological and marketing perspective, it probably makes a lot of sense for practitioners to say we're either heading into one. But I personally do believe, you know, things are slowing down. A running joke is anytime you know how do I know I'm wrong? I have conviction over something, you know, macroeconomic related. So that's always the running joke. But I think it doesn't matter if we are in, look, I think what's important to know is how to untangle yourself from the last recession we had, 08, 09 being such an outlier. If you're using that, and I think most people are using that as their benchmark as to what to expect, whether we're in one or not, let's assume we get there or we're in one. You know, now you think it's a 45-50% drawdown in the market, if that's your benchmark, because that's what, oh, so this is, we call this recency bias, right? Whatever event happened last is the one that you're going to, you know, fix your opinions to. And I think that's going to do a lot of disservice to individuals, when probably a better approach is to take the average of the last four or five. What does an average recession look like? Because what we're trying to do, right, is set reasonable expectations around how to behave around our money and what decisions we're going to make around our money. So for those listening, you're looking at, on average, a 33% drawdown, meaning how far does the market, in this case, the S&P 500, drop from its peak to its lowest point? right around 33%. Last year, we got as low as 25%. So if you think we're heading there, this is how you set the reasonable expectation, right? If you think we're heading there, then on average, we got a lot more downside to go if you're just looking at the market. You could look at job numbers, right? 0809, a washout. We're seeing some pretty, significant, swipe card deactivations in the technology sector that hasn't yet, bled out. And the other thing I would say is, the time, right? How long do recessions last on average? And you're going to see 2 years. Actually, 08 and 09 was about 2 years. So it actually hit the average there. So where do you use that? You use that to say, all right, if we're 3 months into a recession, if you feel that's where we are, on average, you got what, 21 months to go? Or if you think we're 6 months in, we got 18 to go. And if you think we haven't even started and we're getting there, get ready for 2 years of low growth. And then ironically, last week, not the time stamp the podcast here, but we get positive GDP numbers in the fourth quarter, pulling ourselves out of this notion of a technical recession. Everything's pretty wonky donkey right now, but that's how I view it. And that's how I communicate it to clients. How do we set the reasonable expectation around what a recession would look like? And you use probably a more averaged approach to that than just going to where your feelings and gut is having you go to, which is the last thing, the second worst, economic event in history. Probably not the best benchmark out there.
So Zanilia, if this is true, if we're in a recession or whatever our thoughts are, like Doug was saying, about where we are, how does this change, or does it change, what we do with our money?
Well, Doug said a lot. So I actually had been sharing with my clients for some time to expect a recession because of what tends to happen, right? We tend to experience one every 10 years or so. This took a little bit longer. And so my approach with my clients is recessions are a great time to buy stocks on sale. And so maybe I'm optimistic in a way, but I think recessions are necessary because it cleanses. And that's what I communicate to my clients. It's a cleansing process. So some companies are going to go out of business. And that's not a bad thing because maybe they should go out of business. Some companies are going to merge. And that may be a good idea. And then what comes out of that, hopefully, is ingenuity and creativity. Because what companies and people will start trying to do is solve problems. And then the rise of growth will happen again. So that's my approach with talking to clients about it. I'm pretty straightforward and I keep it simple as possible.
Yeah. So you both talked about the job market and how things are changing. And, I think a lot of people right now are pretty fearful about layoffs. We're seeing layoffs at all sorts of companies. And whether that was because they beefed up on staff in 2020, and now we're kind of seeing the, to use your words, Zanilia, kind of cleansing process of that or not, I think it still doesn't take away the like fear and panic that a lot of people have that their job could just evaporate in a second. So, Zanilia, what would you say to somebody listening that, is maybe a little bit fearful that their job may go away and that source of income might evaporate?
So I'm going to sound a little, soft on this, I guess, because the way that I look at life is everything happens for a reason. And so what you should have been doing and should always be doing is strengthening your skill set, because that's something you have control over. So are you preparing yourself by educating yourself in a way such that you can find another opportunity to it could be in a totally different field, or it could be an opportunity for you to pursue something that you so desire to pursue. So I look at things as everything happens in the way that it's supposed to. And I'm not saying it feels good because it doesn't. Losing a job does not feel good. But when it does, okay, so, but what were you doing before? So I think when I'm talking to clients, it's all about preparation, controlling the things that you can control. Because there are so many things in this world that we cannot control. We're in an environment now where I think people really realize that there are so many things that are just out of control. And so what are the things that you can control? And so education and getting a skill set or building on your skill set is one way that you can control the outcome, or your outcome, your personal outcome.
I like that. I like that. Right. And take control of your situation. Doug, I know you got some thoughts on this.
Yeah. So it's first of all, you got three CFPs in here and you're going to find it a very difficult to get us disagreeing at any point in time during this show. We had a lot of head nodding and she stole my lines. Cause that's what we're trained. We're trained this way. We know the right answers. But having said that, I actually wrote a piece. My last newsletter was titled "You Got Canned." So very, very relevant here. It was a practical guide to layoffs and what comes next for you. And it was a few things. It was don't panic, you know that layoffs, certainly mass layoffs, you know, probably not your fault, right? You're not responsible for shifts in macroeconomic conditions and what happens in the boardroom. So give yourself a minute to breathe because there's stuff you got to do and you have to be focused when it comes to finding that next job. The second thing was to evaluate your resources. You know, what do you have to work with? I think this is critical. So understanding your severance, understanding hopefully you had already built a cash reserve. If you haven't and you haven't been laid off, this is where you're probably going to want to, you know, get that 3 to 6 months stereotypically, you know, of living expenses in cash. So looking at resources and what you actually have before like things get weird, right? Before you have to do some serious stuff, like maybe change where you live or sell stuff. You know, that's where it gets, you know, rough. There was a point about understanding health insurance. This is such a critical thing for so many people. This was knowing that you could jump on a spouse's coverage, a qualifying life event. If you lose your job and you lose your insurance, but you know, your significant other or spouse or domestic partner, has insurance, you can hopefully use that. And for those who aren't in that situation, really understanding, you know, what COBRA is and how to continue on with coverage, when you're unemployed. And the last 2 points were understanding or revisiting cash flow. It is absolutely critical to know how much cash you need to burn each month just to, one, maintain your current living expense. So before any austerity or pulling back comes into play or any of these big decisions, you know, the knee-jerk reaction is I'm going to cancel every subscription. You know, everything's getting canceled. I'm going to live as lean as humanly possible. It's a normal reaction, but take a second to really understand, you know, what the numbers are behind what you can and can't afford. And then, and I said last year, but it's trust, you know, don't touch your long-term investments, right? So really do everything I mentioned before, doing something that is really detrimental to, you know, long-term assets. Not only are there tax consequences and penalties associated with going after the retirement accounts, but you're interrupting the compounding of returns that you're looking for. So, you know, I cringe to even say it, but sometimes even borrowing against those investments before selling them is a way to go. Now, this is obviously deeper down the line of, oh my God, I haven't gotten a job yet and I'm running low on resources. I know, we're trying to keep it positive. And then lastly, it was just set, you know, this is a gut check opportunity. Maybe this is the moment where, you know, you really do reevaluate what's important to you and where you want to be. Maybe warm weather environment closer to your family this is finally the opportunity. So trying to squeeze, you know, some of these lemons into lemonade is possible here, but make no mistake about it. This sucks. You know, this is not great, but those were the points we brought through in that piece. And I hope they help. And I hope they help listeners here. If you're nervous, there's stuff to do. And if you've unfortunately been laid off, you now have at least a pathway to go down to help your situation.
And I think this is also a good time to actually sit down with one of us, someone like us, and right, kind of go through all of the different options. And I also think that it's a time, especially as the practitioner, to have empathy as we engage with our clients during this time. I think it's very important to know that, for them to know that we understand where they are. I know I've lost a job before. It didn't feel good. I was angry. and you have to, you know, really, you know, and I was married and I had a young child. And so it was a lot of things that we had to evaluate and figure out within our family and our lifestyle in order to move forward. So I think identifying with your clients is also important, because sometimes as financial professionals, we can look at the numbers and we can be, well, of course, we're trying to be independent when we present our recommendations and ideas to them. But I also think sometimes we have to bring in the human component and let them know that we understand.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. We're gonna dive a little bit deeper into that in just a few minutes. You both brought up somewhere in your response back about where you live. And we know obviously that the housing market has been quite topsy-turvy itself. From last year this time to this year, interest rates are a lot higher. And, you know, the housing market's getting a little bit softer. And I think people are really trying to figure out, what do they do? Should they buy? Should they sell? Is it a good time? Is it not a good time? You know, it's kind of that that constant debate that everybody has. They're always wishing there's like a crystal ball, right? And that we could tell them exactly what the right decision is. But, you know, Doug, what should we be thinking about this year? If we're thinking about buying or selling, I mean, is it a good time? Do we sit still? What do we do?
I'll always be buying. All right. Joking aside, let's kind of look at this from an opportunistic perspective, right? You're down at most 25% last year. I can't help but to, you can't ignore these entry points, right? You can't ignore that even today, you know, even out of a bear market, you're going to pick up discounts, and it depends on what you're looking at, right? So we're speaking out loud and typically referencing the S&P 500 as our main benchmark for the market. But you still go look at technology, which is having a strong start to the year, but a very dismal, you know, 2022. Do you look at that as an opportunity? I think what's most important here is the foundation you're building for yourself to be able to take advantage of those opportunities in the first place, right? At any point, and it's never a bad moment. It doesn't have to be at the beginning of the year for a New Year's resolution, or at the end of the year to get yourself in good order to figure out how you can be a consistent contributor to the investments that will grow long term for you, right? So I want to see out of my clients, I want to see that, number one, they have the foundation needed to have the confidence to continue putting money into long-term assets. And there's usually a pecking order for that, right? It's make sure you have the cash you need, make sure all the short-term goals, which are typically cash related, are satisfied. And then we're going to start looking at those tax qualified accounts, maxing out your 401ks, do your Roth conversions, the HSAs. We want to save money on taxes with investing if we can. And then if we can get to this, I call it like the gold star status of investing, which is where you're doing all of that. I mean, look, for a household of two people that have access to a retirement plan and all these things I've just mentioned, we're pushing $50,000 a year in long-term savings. That's a ton of money. And a lot of people aren't going to get close to that. And that doesn't mean they're doing a bad job investing. It's really relative to what they're earning. But to get to this like gold star status of now you have an additional monthly amount being invested above and beyond that, that you can then either dial up or down depending on what's going on. Hopefully it's just dialing up because you're succeeding and you're growing your income. Like if you can get a system like this working for you where it's automatic, right? You're going to catch all the dips in the market. You're going to get all those entry points. You're going to have flexibility. That's ultimately what I will spend years on working with individuals to get to. And it's not easy. It's actually extremely hard, which is why, you know, it's sometimes comical when you see like all these creative ways to invest your money. Like nothing I described to you, we didn't even talk about how you're investing it and what you're investing in.
In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. "Talkin' Money" under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. That's monarchmoney.com/etm for your extended 30-day free trial.
It's just getting that behavior right and building out that foundation. Super, super, super hard to do. It takes very, you know, long periods of time of control and discipline and practice to get there. So that's what I want to see, because I think there will be opportunity. I think there have been opportunities last year, and I think there'll continue to be opportunities going into this year. And I don't want to approach it on just like an ad hoc basis. Cool, here it is. Let's throw money at it. You can do that in a controlled way, but just not like, this is my moment. Then you're just timing the market.
Most of us have clothes that we've loved for years, maybe even decades. But it's harder than ever to find clothes that will stand the test of time. If you're looking for more pieces designed to last, you can't go wrong with American Giant. From hoodies and t-shirts to denim and more, they've got everything you need to build a wardrobe that you'll be proud of for years to come. All American Giant clothing is created with a commitment to doing things better, from the materials they use down to the last stitch in every piece. And everything is made right here in America, in partnership with people and communities. Because keeping things local ensures the kind of quality you'll appreciate as soon as you receive your order. Discover the American Giant difference today. Shop wardrobe essentials that last a lifetime at American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code LT23 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Promo code LT23.
So, Zanilia, tell me about this too. So, you know, if we're thinking about investing, right, and we're thinking about, you know, a house, a dwelling that we live in, and we're looking at that as a way to build wealth or build generational wealth.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on 2023? Like, how do we think about, you know, our house and what we're gonna be able to afford and interest rates and all of those things? How do we build that into our plan of building wealth?
I think it depends on where you are and with owning real estate. So I don't know, maybe your audience doesn't know, but there's a strong tendency in the African-American community to definitely go towards real estate. And I think it's because it's something that we can touch, but it's also been something that we've been denied. So that is a natural tendency to have real estate as a foundational investment to have. But I also look at it from the aspect of where are you in your livelihood? You know, how old are you? Do you already own a property? What things are you thinking about for the future? So I'm actually thinking about this myself. Like, what do we want to do now in our lives? And one of the things that I would, you know, recommend clients to do is to, you know, really consider what the future looks like. So having them to paint for me what they want in the future. And I do think that, you know, owning real estate is a foundational asset to have because of what it is that they may want to do. So why do I think it's a foundational thing, asset to have, is because if they decide that if they're approaching retirement and they're not going to completely retire, but they want to maybe become a consultant and, owning your primary residence is one of the ways that you can get access to additional capital to fund whatever, if you decide to start a business. So it's a foundational asset to have, because when you're filling out your loan paperwork, one of the things they ask you is, what assets do you have? And that's what they put a lien on, which is primary, your primary resident or a real estate holding that you own. So it depends on what you're trying to do. And I think I know people now are very concerned about the rise in interest rates and how, you know, what's going to happen. Are they going to, we already anticipate that they're going to continue to rise in for 2023, but what happens beyond that? And will I still be able to purchase property? And what does that look like? And I just think it depends on what stage of life you're in. So if you're approaching retirement, then you may be able to, you know, sell your primary residence now and just move into this new community wherever you may want to reside in retirement and pay cash. But if you're new to getting into real estate, then that's a whole different situation, right? Because now you're going to have to pay more in order, or pay more to get less. Right. And are you willing to do that? And so I would encourage people to, if they have an interest in owning property, then I think understanding that, okay, I do want to own, and coming up with a plan around that. So maybe it's not buying the single family home, but maybe it's you're buying a townhouse now, or you're buying a condo. And look, all of those things can be used or leveraged in the future, right? So if I own a condo, I can own it for now, and then later I keep it, I rent it, like, you know, rent it out, and it's still on my balance sheet, right? So I think right now, it's all about what your individual plans are. Because we can get caught up in, you know, talking about it generally, but everything comes down to you personally and where you stand financially.
The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited. And it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process, helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me, and I got my regular personalized privacy report, and I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/etm and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/etm and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/etm. Go to joindeleteme.com/etm and use code ETM for 20% off. I love that. I love that we keep coming back to you because I think that's so important and certainly something I echo on this show all the time, that we can talk about all of these lofty ideas or all of these things that might happen this year, but it really comes back to you and your vision and your life and what you want and what works for you. But that brings me into my next topic I want to talk about. And I have a feeling there's going to be some strong opinions on this one, and I'm very much welcoming those. So I want to talk a little bit about this idea of the social media money expert. And you're both smiling at me. I know you probably have the same sort of feels that I have on this one. But, you know, I want to dig around a little bit. Like, what actually makes somebody a money expert? What actually makes money advice, good advice. Doug, what do you think?
Yeah, so I would love either experience or credentials to be, you know, part of this. Like, show me you've worked with or advised or had some experience in the wealth management or financial planning profession. That'd be very helpful. Credentials, CFP is obviously what we all share in common here. We all do consider that the gold standard. Certainly a lot of academic rigor goes into understanding these key concepts and figuring out how to both work with people qualitatively and bring in the quantitative components of planning and mash it all together to create actually individualized advice with a real human being, right? Those are very helpful. You know, that's what you would hope to get out of a professional or someone who's a money expert. You don't even necessarily need those. You could be extraordinarily self-studied and know these concepts. There's an infinite number of ways to learn it and practice it. Show that to me. That would be fantastic. You know, not to keep talking about the newsletter, but this is what I'm writing this week. You know, the Instagram or TikTok or pick your social, I mean, they all find their way across all of social media. And what we're really seeing here is, look, I'm all for people, especially younger people, learning, right? I mean, how can you knock that? How can you knock learning and getting, you know, involved with even, you know, just investments first, right? But there's danger here. There's real danger that exists when you don't provide any context around how it is you're marketing, whatever it is. Yeah, first of all, usually there's an agenda, selling a course, you know, trading, real estate, insurance. These are the things I'm going to write about and to look out for. Crypto, of course, I'm a big fan of digital assets and early adopter, but you know, the saturation of that certainly over the last year or two has been ripe for in the wake of FTX and just about every exchange imploding, you know, that's clearly one of the main ones here. And you pair it with, you know, how our brains are now engineered to absorb information through social media. You know, you're not getting what's outside of the focus of the picture. You're not getting basically that context. So when you have someone pointing, you know, at candlesticks or a stock chart saying, here's where to buy, here's where to sell, and you don't even know what stock they're talking about, but they're hyping up the fact that they're making so much money and how exciting it is. Look, you know, trading has a place. You know, I have plenty of clients who trade 5, 10% of their portfolio. There's the context. Where does this fit in practically to people who are trying to achieve their financial goals? And you're kidding yourself that, you know, someone screaming and pointing at a chart as if it's the casino is the way you're going to grow wealth. Same for the insurance salesman who believes that indexed universal life insurance policies using leverage, you know, is like, you know, like they're Jack Bogle and they discovered index funds for the first time. It's like, listen, you know, the entire wealth management profession knows what this is. Like, stop gaslighting people into thinking, you know, you've discovered something unique. The information travels too fast. You likely have not. You have an agenda to sell as much premium as possible. So there's a ton of danger. The spectacle, right? The sensationality, if that's a word, of the videos without the context is the danger. And that's pretty much the common denominator. Tell me when you found a video of someone pushing their real estate investment course that talked about in their precious 90 seconds they got, you know, an equal-handed approach to the pros and the cons. Hey, this is not for everyone. You do need to spend a ton of time actively managing property. And if it's your first rodeo, there's a lot of learning you need to do. What's going to happen when an AC unit falls on your tenant's head in the middle of the night? Be prepared for these things. And it is such a great way to accumulate wealth. But I'm going to go through the pros and the cons of that. You're not going to find me arguing with someone who was, you know, who was objective in the approach, but it's never that. It's almost never that. And there are some really good examples out there, but it's almost always, you know, I'm going to show you how to make $50 million. It's calling out traditional time-tested strategies like 401ks and Roth IRAs and calling them scams. So guys, anytime you have someone market themselves and the tactic is to put down, right, the things that have proven to work, to say that everything's crap, junks, this is a scam. They're calling Roth IRAs scams. But my thing's not the scam. It's the new way of doing it. It's not new. It very well could be a scam and you're not being objective. Like, you just don't have CFPs going around hawking index funds and leading with that. You know, hopefully you don't. Instead, you have them lead with financial planning and the advice component before even discussing a product. These are all just ways to know that this is dangerous and harmful if there's no context. I get fired up about this, as you could tell. And that's why I'm going to write about it.
Yeah. So Zanelia, you know, I was curious. This is always kind of in the back of my head. You know, I couldn't just go on the corner and, you know, put up a sign and say, well, I guess I could, but, you know, I wouldn't say like free law advice, right? I'm not an attorney. I wouldn't be able to just, you know, hop on social media and start spouting out about, you know, what you should do with your contracts and things like that. But money has always been this subject. And I don't know if it's just because it is a primal need that we all have, but it's always been this subject that is just ripe for, you know, everyone kind of sharing their opinions, and the idea of who is an expert kind of, you know, fades into the background. You know, why do you think money is this subject where, you know, everyone can kind of put themselves out as an expert?
I think because we all have to interact with it, right? It's the tool for us to live our lives. And yes, I have very strong opinions about this, but I always say, you know, trust but verify. And, you know, we have to verify the people that we're receiving advice from. Is it someone just sharing their personal story? I mean, and I'm not knocking people sharing their personal story. I think it's powerful in sharing your personal stories. And I love seeing that. But at the same time, does that make someone an expert because they're sharing their personal story of what they went through? And what are they getting out of it? And how does it benefit you? And are there repercussions if they give you the wrong advice? So as financial professionals, you know, we are on the conservative side for the most part on the information that we share, because we are regulated in what we can and cannot share. And so I always, you know, tell people, well, who's regulating the person that you're receiving information from? So if something happens and you actually do exactly what they say, what recourse do you have if that doesn't work for you personally? I actually look at some of the Instagram posts about things that are being shared because I kind of want to hear what's going on and what people are saying and how they're saying it. But I also know that there's also a lot of information that's being left out. And that's why giving advice is personal. There is no two, you know, you as professionals, we're not giving the same advice to every client that we deal with. Why? Because their circumstances are different. Different things affect what they're doing. And so we can't make blanket statements because it's not applicable to everyone. And while that could be a starting point, so if it gets you interested, great, but don't stop there and seek out the professionals.
I love that advice. Yeah. I mean, I knew this would be a fiery topic for all of us because, you know, we live in this world and we see these videos and we see these people giving advice. And so I think, you know, what you're both saying is like, take a pause moment and, you know, take what works for you, but don't think anything is not the sort of cure-all, right, to building wealth. And that's how a lot of people, at least on social media, want to kind of portray that. And, you know, another thing about social media, I think it really feeds into the scarcity, the fear, the anxiety, the shame, the guilt, you know, all of these emotions around money that are very, very heavy. And, you know, you both talk about the mental side of money. You both are pro talking about the behavioral side and, you know, how money is not just numbers on a piece of paper, right? It's our feelings and our thoughts and our stories and where we come from and how all of that interacts with money. So, you know, as we're thinking about 2023, Zanelia, you know, how do we put money in its place so that, you know, we can do the things that we need to do with our money, but we can also not let, you know, the anxiety and fear kind of override what we're going to do this year?
Well, interestingly, I'm gonna share my personal phrase for this year, and so, and it was just interesting how it just kind of hit me because it's something that I needed to focus on. And so in focusing on myself, I also use that to help others. So my phrase for the year is faith over fear. Having faith in that when we think about the whole, you know, our economy and we think about the markets, I always go back to the simplicity of it. These are companies that are represented. Have you stopped buying things? And for the most part, we have not. We're, you know, I'm still getting boxes from Amazon. FedEx is delivering things to me. I'm still going to ExxonMobil to buy gas. So I think about it, or I break it down into the simplicity of it. And as long as we are, because we're a consumer-based economy, as long as we are spending money someplace, there are going to be opportunities. And then going back to what I initially said, always focusing on what is it that you're trying to do? What are your goals? What are your goals? And focusing on that, because that's what you have control over. And when you connect those two and identify with what is it that you want to do and what you're willing to do, and understanding also that in some cases, because if you still have your job, that's a wonderful thing. If you still have a job right now, that's a wonderful thing because of the fact that you are able to contribute to your future. You can continue to contribute to your future. And so how are you going to do that? And what things are you willing to set aside in order to meet your goals? Because I think that's important as well. And so I think during these times when there's a lot of chaos around us, it's always good to center yourself and remember what the things are you're trying to do in order to meet your goals. And that's what I'm here to help clients to focus on, is them.
Yeah. So Doug, tell me a little bit about this. You know, how do we keep our fears and anxieties around money kind of in check? So it's not, you know, money is not sabotaging our whole life, no matter what happens this year.
Yeah. And look, you know, we're constantly plugging what we do here. Having a financial plan is, in my experience, a lot of bias in this statement, but I guess the easiest way to explain what you're doing there is we said, how can you be in control? If you want to be in control of the many facets that make up your financial life, and by the way, and then choose whether or not you want to implement those things, you can always outsource that. But if you know, no one's going to do this part for you, right? No one's exercising for you. No one's eating good food for you. You can file.
Wouldn't that be nice, right?
Yeah. Judah, hey, you know, how do I get the spinach in me without actually eating it? Spinach is delicious, FYI. You know, this gets filed. Well, when we talk about our wealth management or our finances or money, you're going to file this under the same category of that you would, you know, working out and eating right, you know, self-improvement and self-maintenance and preservation, right? There are a few things that, you know, that you have to interact with every single day of your life. And those are them, including, you know, your money. So look, there is a time-tested, you know, method of doing this. And it's what good certified financial planners do. And it's how they engage their clients by going through cash management, insurance planning, investment, retirement, tax, and estate. Look how fast we should be able to rattle that off. Getting observations and recommendations in each of these areas, and then being able to work with somebody to tell you how these all connect and what you can do about it and assist you with implementation of them. You know, there's literally no better way. And it's, you know, I'll be extremely candid. You can learn it all yourself. You can do it all yourself. But the reality is most people are busy doing things that they have to do, their jobs, and the things that they want to do. Hopefully that's friends and family and all these amazing things we get to do in our free time. That is life. So here's a way to go about doing that. And that's always going to be, whether it's 2023 or 2083, you know, until truly, you know, AI takes us out, maybe 100 years from now. This is the best way to really take advantage of things here and put yourself in a good spot. It's through planning. And again, you can do this on your own, or you can turn to professionals who do it every day of their professional lives. I will play that position, not because I have to, but because I deep in my heart with conviction believe that's how you get it done.
All right, let's, you know, we've talked about a lot here, right? And we keep coming back to the foundational elements of money, right? It's really no matter what happens in this year, we keep kind of coming back to this. So, you know, what's next, right? If we're already investing and we're saving, we're doing all those things, give me just kind of a quick, you know, what are the next steps to building financial freedom? Or is the answer to keep doing the same?
I think each year you should be doing more. Not the same, but more. And the reason why I say that is because you can always put more aside in savings. You can always, you know, review your investments and your savings habits, and you can bump them up in some way, right? Increase them. But at the end of the day, it's still all about the individual and their goals. And I know I may sound like a broken record with that, but that's what it's about. But yes, you can always do more. I think that in doing more, it has to connect to something. So I believe when you're talking about your money, that it needs to connect to something in your life. That's why understanding what people's life goals are is important, because otherwise you're doing this and you may have a disconnect and it may not. So we're going back to the habits, right? So how do you build habits? Well, you build habits when you have it attached to something that makes you feel good inside, that gets you excited. So it's like, oh, I'm saving because one day I'm going to do whatever that is, or I'm going to live here, or I'm going to travel the world. All of those things get you excited. And so in getting excited, then that should provide this umption to want to do more so that you can get there quicker, hopefully.
Yeah. You know, I'll play. Look, you can always be doing more. There's no question about that. I love that answer. Keep improving. I'm going to go with the consistency that's required. So even if you're not, like, if you got something good going and, you know, your ability to continue doing it is absolutely the most critical component of this. You know, this is about, and let's go back to our example about like working out and health. And I really do consider all of this under that same umbrella. No one goes to the gym twice and is in the best shape of their life. No one eats a salad, you know, 3 days a week for 1 week and is all of a sudden, on the best physical, you know, their body's loving it. This takes years, right? You know, go work out 4 days a week for 9 months. Tell me, and you're almost guaranteed, right? Almost is the word. Screw it. We're talking about health. I'm not a doctor. You're guaranteed. Let's do like a TikTok video. You're guaranteed to be in better health than you were when you started and you weren't working out 3 days a week. Like, you can fact check me on that. That's fine. you eat right, you're going to feel better in months time. Do it for a year. How are you going to feel in 2 years of doing that? 5 years of doing that? 10? Think about all of that, but now with your money. How great are you going to feel and be when you consistently can save X dollars a month or max out your retirement plans while getting in that vacation every year, while spending time with your family and your kids, while not having to go to bed worrying if you got your estate planning documents done, you have adequate life insurance, God forbid you die tomorrow. Now it's getting dark, but you know, this is reality. How are you going to feel when you consistently do these things, check in on them, and apply yourself towards them? You don't even need to raise the bar. If you do, fantastic, but now you got to do that harder thing more consistently. And yes, you should strive to do that. So really, you know, this notion of discipline and consistency across the board with the foundational pieces, not even the cool stuff, the really, really boring stuff that hopefully doesn't become boring and hopefully just gets automated because you've done it so many times, right? It's like breathing at this point. If you can get there, if you can make that happen for yourself, you stand in a class of individuals that's likely in the top, let's make up a number, top 1% of 1% that's getting this right. It is chronic how most people don't even bother.
All right. Well, that was fun. I think the biggest takeaway that I hope really resonated with you is that whether we're in 2023 or 2030, whether there's a recession or not, whether the stock market goes gangbusters or really implodes this year, coming back to these money foundational elements, they're always going to keep you headed towards your goals. You know, the stuff like investing and savings and tracking your cash, making sure your family is set up in case something happens to you, and being intentional with your money. That is the stuff that matters. So you want to connect with Zenelia, you can head to her website, hhwealth.com. And you can find Doug on Twitter, where he hangs out a lot, at Doug Bonaparte. He has a lot of laughs there. Or you can find him on his newsletter, This Is The Top, at thisisthetop.substack.com. And the name of his firm is Bonafide Wealth. So if you enjoyed this episode, share it with a few friends right now. Help them get into what they should do with their money this year and beyond. As always, you can head to the show notes for all the links to our episode guests, as well as the sponsors who make this show possible. I'll see you back here in a few days for a brand new episode.